Thanks for listening to the Camel Call podcast, featuring conversations of former players, coaches, and staff for the Fighting Camels. I'm your host, Evan Budrovich. On this episode, we sit down with Cameron Bryant, the starting quarterback for the Camels back in 2015. He started his career at App State, then transferred to Campbell for his graduate season. Cam has a unique perspective. He got to both play in Barker Lane Stadium and compete against the Camels. Bryant now works at New York Life Insurance, and 5 years removed from his days on the football field, is making a name for himself in the insurance business. We also touch on some real-life topics, including how college football and the collegiate landscape in general help prepare Cam and create a diversity and understanding of different cultures coming together in that collegiate landscape. So we hope you enjoy this conversation. One, to touch on some famous moments with his days at the Camels in 2015. Two, his maturity and understanding of the quarterback position and leadership kind of from day one. But most importantly, the real life subjects we touch on in this conversation and what makes college sports so important. I think it's a big part of what we talk about. So I hope you guys enjoy this podcast with Cam Bryant. We're excited to have one of the smartest players in Campbell football history, a program that's about 12 or 13 years old, so I'll say it in that context. But Cam Bryant, former quarterback in 2015 and now a graduate of Campbell, obviously. And Cam, we want to thank you for coming on this podcast first and foremost. What is it like just, first of all, thinking about 5 years removed from playing college football and your thoughts on being a college athlete both at App State and Campbell?
Yeah, and thank you guys for having me. Love the opportunity to be here and talk a little about Campbell and kind of my journey. But you talk about 5 years. You look back and you realize some of those lessons that football teaches you. Sometimes when you're in them, it's more frustrating than people tell you. You're going to learn from this. You'll be better from it. But that 12th or 14th gasser that someone you're blowing that whistle in your ear and telling you you'll be better for, it's just hard to understand. When you're 20, 21 years old. But in the real world now and those things, it's great and greatly impacted my life. I think it helped me a lot. As far as determination, understanding things aren't easy, right? And how to, overcome adversity. So I think it's been a great teacher. For me and specifically in my career, but I think for anyone, just being a college athlete and the adversity, the camaraderie, the relationships you build there, it's one of the best places, to be in the world. I think is to be in that locker room, with your friends, the people you play with and, blood, sweat and tears with. So it's definitely impacted me. It's crazy to say that, right? That it's been, 5 years. But it's really impacted me, and couldn't be happier that I decided to play college football and the opportunities both at App and Campbell.
Cam, I'm always curious because we talked about this when you first came to Campbell, but obviously when you graduated from App State, you had a year of eligibility left and different options out there as a quarterback of where you wanted to play. I'm curious how much of it, being someone from Cary and kind of grew up in this area, was it coming home to play at Campbell, and how much was just the opportunity to play with Mike Minner and be a part of that to help decide your decision?
Yeah. So I want to say, first it was about, cause I am from Fayetteville, and grew up, and moved to Cary in middle school. So it was kind of that I was right in the middle, right? So my mom is in, was in the Cary area. My dad was in Fayetteville. So that definitely played a part, and my family in general. So being kind of right, in the middle of those two places was a big thing for me. And that meant a lot. And then obviously Greg Milhouse, the relationship there with him, coming from App as well. That was, another big thing. But of course, it was Coach Minner, right? That, the name alone, coming on my visit and getting to sit down and talk to him and just seeing his passion for Campbell football in general. And also just kind of me, as a man, right? And just trying to, really be a support system for me. So you put all those things together. Like I said, a friend I knew already, being back in the area, and then Coach Minner and the football and what he saw as a vision for Campbell. And then, of course, the school itself, right? I did a year of my MBA there, and that meant a lot. There was some other programs I had looked at the time. Some were maybe dealing with accreditation issues or maybe not the best fit. So when all those things came together, and it was a great time for me and a great learning experience. So like I said, when I was making the decision, Coach Minner, And I think did a great job of showing me what could be, and then kind of talking about how we could build, start building the future that he saw.
Cam, I'm glad you mentioned the Greg Milhouse stuff, because if you look back at his old pictures at App State, he had the golden stripe in his hair, and he was all in and invested in the App State black and gold. And of course, he was really great at Campbell too, an all PFL player and one of the best D linemen I'd seen. But how about the fact that both him and Ronald Blair, who of course is now doing great things with the 49ers, and Greg got a sniff with the Giants in a training camp and in the preseason, were together on the same defensive line with you at App State?
Yeah, you talk about a practice, right? And the practice that we had there, I think it's a really cool thing. And you're kind of looking back at just those guys, specifically, like you said, I'm, a backup quarterback at the time, trying to, earn a job, right? And I'm going against, Greg Milhouse on the second team, right? When he's a younger than, you're behind us. So going against him on the second team, right? Trying to win that job. And then, you always go ones versus twos. So it's like, okay, you get a break from Greg, and now you go against the ones, and okay, now here's Blair, here's Blair on the other side, right? So it definitely it was great to play against the guys, compete. And I think I always talk about, with Greg and especially, and Blair as well, is just the work ethic. I think that's what stood out. Those guys were were great players, and it's because they worked, right? So it was fun, being able to compete against them. And like you said, that Greg, I forgot about the yellow pad. I'm going to have to pick on him once I get off of the call. But it was great, great to play against those guys, and truly, credit to kind of that, the App State staff on recruiting, that caliber of guys, right there at the same time.
So you had a unique perspective because you came to Campbell in 2015 as a grad transfer, but the year before, you actually got some big time in the game when App played Campbell. Campbell drove up there to Boone and got to play. What was it like kind of reflecting on it a year later and being with many of the guys that, and let's be frank, you played very well in that game. App was a much better team and a different level at that point of football, but just being able to play against a lot of those guys and then all of a sudden getting in the huddle and trying to cooperate with them in fall camp and things like that.
Yeah, it was, it definitely wasn't anything I could have, predicted, right? At the time when, going out and playing, and based on the circumstances that were going on at App, and definitely wasn't anything I saw, saw coming. But I think, to one, to Coach Manor and Coach Mariani at the time as well, and Greg, right, in my official visit, was, it wasn't tough at all, right, to make that adjustment. I don't, wasn't any animosity or anything, to that effect. So it was, to be familiar with, those guys a little bit. It was, just a little weird, to, to flip the other, to put on the, be on the other side. I think it would have been even, a little more surreal, if, we would have played App again, right? If I went back up there on the other side, now that would have been, a very interesting, time. But, the guys on the team, credit to them, right? Embraced me, with open arms, and we kind of, we talked about it. It was more so kind of an experience, right? Talking to, those guys, asking a little bit about the experience of, like you said, at that time, App was, much, a bigger program, right? So a lot of shared experiences, and just kind of bringing those experiences, in conversation. But it was, a easy transition. I think, I think I was just as excited as they were, to get down to the creek. So it was a good transition, and very, very successful one.
So Cam, you end up earning the starting job your final year and your first year at Campbell, and that team, so much talent all across, especially on the defensive side with all their national rankings, and offensively there were some big receivers, and you were part of that, getting the ball out to people's hands. But I think what people miss about that team is how many close games there were every week, and it was a 5-6 team that could have been 9-2 at some points, and could have been 2-9 on other points of the season. Did you ever get a chance to kind of reflect on that during the year and just kind of gauge how close it was in the PFL to maybe winning a Butler game or losing this game, and how different it could be all in the matter of a couple of plays?
Yeah, I remember, we talked about it. Greg was, a roommate of mine, and you know, we all lived in, you know, the infamous Meadows, right? And you know, Nick Drew, Damon Boo, Turnage, you know, that our whole little crew, Mobley, you know, Millsap is there, Dalton Dillon. So that, you know, we're all there. And I, you know, I know this is going to be online, so if I forgot anybody, it's not on purpose, I promise. I just would be here all day naming everybody that was in the Meadows, but you guys know what I'm talking about. So, but we definitely got to talk about that a lot. You know, we're a couple, you know, a couple plays away, like you said, from that season being a very different. And, you know, I think about San Diego, right? You know, the interception, you know, I threw in that game, right? And late in that game, you know, how that changes things. Morehead State, that was, you know, another one. You know, so I do remember Butler. I mean, the Butler game was, you know, insane. We hopped out on them early. And then just, you know, couldn't keep it going, right?
To pull then, like back said, the curtain too, yeah, on that Butler game, Cam. I had never been to the Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, but the steep walk to get from the locker room to the field. I don't know how you guys didn't trip, because I was wearing regular shoes and walking in, you know, slacks and a polo, and I felt uncomfortable just trying to go down this 90-degree steep to get to the field.
Yeah, and you know, I talk about sharing those experiences, and if anyone has seen the tunnel at App, right, I had a lot of experience with walking down those hills. You know, the tunnel to App's practice, I mean, to App's field is the same kind of same idea, that cement. They're very slick, right? And you know, you talk about being in the mountains, you know, it's snowing and sleet and all kind of things. So I had a little bit of some preparation for it, right? But, you know, it definitely was. I never, obviously never been there myself either. But, you know, a treacherous walk, you know, I don't know if it's done on purpose or not. But, yeah, it was definitely like that game. I mean, it was, you know, a fun game nonetheless, even though, you know, we couldn't pull it out. But, you know, like you said, you know, if I went back and did that math, I mean, like we're probably, you know, 21 to, you know, 28 points away, you know, and then total, you know, for the season, you know, from being, you know, that record being, like you said, 9-2, I think there are only a few games that, you know, really, that we, you know, we got really get beat up. And, you know, I say that now, and look, I'm thinking in my head, actually, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if we lost a game by more than, what, a touchdown or 10 points, right? I'm actually pulling up my phone now.
Yeah, here, let me we'll do some research on the fly. So the PC game was 10, but remember there was a blocked extra point, and that turned into a safety, and you know, that game could have been totally different. But yeah, 10 points, that's the, you know, that's the most of any the whole season.
Right, and so I think it was, and that was a big thing that year, you know, with coming into a new system. And obviously I'm not, you know, comparing at all, but if you kind of look at, you know, LSU, right, then when, you know, a transfer comes in, you know, that first year, you know, can be, you know, a bit of a transition, right? You know, so would have loved to have another, you know, another crack at that thing, and, you know, who knows, you know, what different, you know, I think that's, you know, you win some of those tighter games with some experience and repetition as well. So, you know, you look back on it, you know, you live and you learn, but definitely were some very close games in that year, and that led to a lot of conversations, you know, either during the season or after season about, you know, one or two plays really changing a lot of different things. And again, when kind of going back to what I said, at the, you know, it's kind of the beginning is, you know, that's the stuff you learn in life, right? And about the decisions and the one choice, the doing this and not doing that, or not doing something versus doing it, you know, the effect it has, right? And again, those are the lessons that, you know, happen in between those lines, but, you know, you learn and build on those in life as well, on just understanding that, you know, every down, every possession, every day, every week is important, especially when you're trying to, you know, complete some goal or be successful, you know, just understanding that, you know, step by, you know, every, you know, bit by bit, you know, is all so important to, you know, achieving something.
Cam, I hate to harp on the tough losses, but another moment I want to ask you about, because I think there was a lot of leadership and a lot of things that everyone learned on that trip, was the San Diego game, like you mentioned, not only the epic highs of trying to beat one of the top dogs in the league, but like you had said, it came down to a final drive. You guys are knocking on the door to possibly score and go ahead. And just as you're managing the emotions of that, what did you learn from a leadership standpoint? And it really seemed like that group was very tight-knit on that trip because of the fact they were playing a great program, and we hadn't won out in San Diego in quite some time, and trying to do some incredible things. But just to be able to manage that emotion that whole weekend.
I think it was, and someone, I think one of my friends, I was actually in a group chat a couple of days ago. It's the only time I've ever been to California, right? So that was pretty cool. That alone there, and like I said, I think it was, for us at that point in time, it was, the season was winding down, and I think we kind of knew, just how good, we could have been, right? We had missed, so many opportunities, and I think what kind of, drew us very close during that trip was, not wanting to miss another opportunity, right? And I think we did a great job with offense and defense if you kind of look back at that game. But I think it was really that, right? Knowing that, for, a lot of us, it was going to be the last, few, times of playing football, not even, together. So that was a big part. And then, like you said, knowing that they kind of had our number, right? I remember some of the guys, and they had to kind of let me know about kind of the history with San Diego and those things, and wanted to really just finish strong. And it's one of those things where being the spoiler, right? I think that was a big part of it, right? Kind of taking out some of that, the letdowns that we had during the year. Could we, put that on them now, right? So it was a great trip. I know, I think. A good bit of my family, flew out there as well. I had maybe, 7 to 10 family members that flew out. So, it was just it was a good experience. Being able to, I think we, what did we go to San Diego to kind of do a walkthrough. So, San Diego State, I believe. So it was a great trip. You kind of felt like a little bit like a professional, right? And and it not being, hop on the bus and drive here and then come right back home, but hanging out a little bit and those things. So. It was a great trip, and wish we could have, pulled that one out.
Selfishly, as a California native myself, I did enjoy that trip for a bunch of reasons. I would have loved to win the game too, but you jump on a charter flight, you get home, gosh, the next morning with the time change and everything. That was a neat couple of days. Cam, I wanted to ask you as well, because you had the perspective of playing at App State and at a program that was transitioning from FCS to FBS football, and I know that kind of completed its process once you were done, but you also got to play at a program like Campbell that was in a similar process, and kind of around the time you were finishing up, there was the talks of going into the Big South and developing and growing. And I'm just curious, in your short year, what you learned and what you could appreciate from that standpoint of being at a couple of programs that were going through that process, and maybe how that helps just in your life, big picture of, learning the process of organization and being in the right position to succeed and those type of things.
Yeah, I think like you said, I hadn't really, I don't think you're probably the first time I really heard it put that way or really considered that, was, kind of that bridge, right? For at both programs on, during the trans, during a transition. I think what it, really, my big takeaway and the thing I've learned from that is just trying to lay a foundation, whatever that is, and being part of, some change, and how to manage that. I think at that point in time, maybe that I realized, what all was going on and how important it was, probably not, but looking back on it now, I think it's been, intricate in my life and what I do now, right? And, as being, starting a career as kind of a, a small business owner and kind of having to, transition again from, sports to real life. It was a interesting time, right? Just to be there, and be in that transition and kind of be, again, that leader during those times, was, trying at times, right? And again, I think you take some of those things and you learn from it, but, a big success as well. I think successes, came from those being in both programs, and obviously especially at Campbell, right? Did it necessarily end up exactly how we wanted to? No, and again, that's what life is, right? Is not necessarily everything happening exactly the way you want it, right? So, I think, just taking those opportunities has, allowed me to kind of build some, like I said, some perseverance and dealing with adversity, because there are a lot of moving parts in a college program, and obviously as a quarterback, you bear the brunt of those. So, just taking those lessons and using them to kind of drive me and, as I call it, adult life now. I wouldn't trade, those experiences for anything.
So I do want to talk about quarterbacks, because that Campbell team in that 2015 year had a neat little package, and there was the Fleming Cat and the Wild Flem, and there were a bunch of nicknames for it. But I was curious, just your thoughts on assessing Austin Fleming's play. He was a tight end at Campbell. He played quarterback in high school and a little bit in college. Of his goal line packages and his ability to get a couple touchdowns here and there.
Yeah, it was always fun to, you know, to see that package come in, and mainly because you knew it was coming and nothing you could do to stop it, right? So I believe it was the Stetson game at one point. I can't remember the exact game. I remember it probably was multiple games. You know, we could run that package out there, you know, four times, you know, consecutively, right? There's nothing you could really do. So it was good to see him get involved in other ways. Fleming was such a talent. As an athlete and as a pass catcher, but just a playmaker, right? You know, kind of one of those guys who was didn't really need a position, just get on the ball, right? So it was always fun to see that and then to see the defenses try to adjust. And he was, you know, wearing 15 and those things. So it was a good wrinkle for us. And was a perfect player, you know, for what we wanted to do, which is, you know, kind of, you know, a little bit of ground and pound and kind of give you, you know, a mix up. And, you know, that year, you know, I dealt with, you know, some hamstring issues. So it was also a way to get me a break from having to run, right? So, you know, I was glad to hand off some of that pounding from time to time.
No, I remember you bring up a great story, but at Stetson, I think you were heading out of bounds and all of a sudden your hammy had some issues. So then they had to put Fleming in the game real quick. And you're right, it's a couple tight ends. It's that Stanford football with guys all in, like, the bear crawl stances, the line of scrimmage. It was just kind of neat to see from our perspective. And I know it's much more fun to watch you throw the ball, but it was kind of cool to see it on that end too.
Yeah.
Cam, I want to talk to you as well because now as you talk about adult life, as you will, over the last 5 years, you've taken some great steps with New York Life Insurance and not only now in a leadership role, but training and developing insurance agents and, you know, obviously spreading out your company like you mentioned. So what is it like not only being a professional but trying to be someone who people look up to for guidance and leadership, and how does that relate, if it does at all, maybe to what you were like as a quarterback all those years ago?
Yeah, so it's been fun, like you said, you know, starting off as an agent and having to build something from, you know, build a business from scratch. Was tough. And again, I think, you know, that part of football was exactly what, you know, what you experience as a quarterback and any athlete, right? Just those ups and downs, those days of, you know, not wanting to do it, but having to, right? So that part was huge. And I think as far as now where I'm at now, as far as the, like you said, training and developing, you know, financial advisors and insurance agents, kind of that translates, you know, translating to football was one, you know, being, you know, where you were in the quarterback room. As you get older in the quarterback room, you know, looking back and helping the younger guys and trying to mentor them. And I think the main thing, or the biggest thing, you know, taken away from, you know, being, you know, in that leadership role and as a quarterback is just learning how to communicate with people, right? And what drives people, what motivates them. I think, you know, my dad has been a, you know, high school coach for years, and one thing he always taught me, you know, from, you know, when I started playing quarterback, you know, 7 years old, was, you know, being, you know, a good leader, a good quarterback, was getting the most out of people. And, you know, the thing is, getting the most out of people, you can't get the most out of people all the same way, right? Everyone's motivated differently. Some people you can be harder on, some people you couldn't. I know, for example, Greg, I used to give it to Greg, but I couldn't, right? Because he could take it, right? So, you know, that dynamic and, you know, that's transitioned to life now, right? As, you know, as I deal with my agents here in, you know, Washington, D.C., you know, it is figuring out, you know, what's everyone's button, what gets them going, what drives them, what's important to you. And that, you know, that directly translates, you know, from football and that leadership role on, you know, giving everyone to do their 111, you know, to get us to, you know, wherever that ultimate goal is. And, you know, that's been a thing I've, you know, taken with me, and, you know, and been able to use and been, you know, fairly successful with. And like I said, couldn't have learned it, you know, much in a much better environment than, you know, college football and being a leader and a quarterback.
My final question for you, Cam, and this is kind of a topic of the day and a topic of the week with so much going on in this world, you know, in the aftermath of George Floyd and with all these peaceful protests going on. I'm just curious because we talk a lot about athletics, how unifying sports are, of bringing people from everywhere together, you know, West Coast, East Coast, different races, different backgrounds. As you're thinking about it in the real world now, and a lot of the conversation is about education and listening and learning about different people's upbringings and understandings, What is that like as a player when you're going through it with the day-to-day of different people who you may or may not know before you get to a school, let's say, and all of a sudden you're rooming with kids from South Carolina and Alaska and you name it, and that process kind of all comes together as you're learning more about the kids and you kind of learn about their upbringing as well, just by osmosis, if you will.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, the true, you know, melting pot, right, is a football team. Right. From, you know, from whatever that is, from, you know, you come from, I remember, you know, other, you know, teammates who accent so thick we could barely understand them, right? You're trying to make out, what are you talking about, right? And, you know, he just couldn't understand, right? And just coming from the, you know, different backgrounds, different socioeconomics and those things. And it definitely is, you know, when you look at the football locker room, it is an opportunity to learn so much there, right, from different people. But I think, you know, It takes, you know, coaching, it takes leadership and those type of things to really bring those to the forefront, right? I think it sometimes can be swept under the rug that because you guys are all fighting for the same thing, you don't have those conversations, right? Those deeper conversations with people. And I think athletes nowadays with, you know, even, you know, I'm not old at all, right? But things have changed so much as far as, you know, the Twitter and those things, and people really having real conversations now. I think, you know, I would love to, you know, see, you know, how the locker room dynamics have changed, right? Sometimes I think those things, you know, back in the day were kind of maybe not talked about as much, just for whatever reason. And you know, so to see, you know, I think that's definitely changed. You see what's going on with, you know, Florida State right now, you know, most recently in the news, and you know, guys really sitting down and having a conversation with each other. I think that's one of the best places to have it, right, is in that football locker room, because it is so organic, right? It is so real because you guys are all there from different places, but you're all, you know, fighting for the same thing. And that's ultimately what, you know, we're trying to get this country to be as well, right? To understand the differences. But if everyone can do their 111th, right, you know, even in the real world, if you can do your 111th, then ultimately we have a chance to, you know, to achieve that goal. So, you know, I think, you know, the football locker room, again, you know, is that melting pot. But, you know, it does take, you know, having leadership and people willing to have, you know, conversations with each other to learn, right? It's not enough just to know they're from Georgia, but, you know, where'd you come up? How were you brought? How do you think, right? I think having those conversations are, you know, are valuable, you know, both especially now and even, you know, when I was playing, I think, you know, we did have those type of conversations and really just learning about people and just, you know, how no matter how much we are different and different upbringings, there are so many commonalities, all right, and finding those, you know, through conversation with each other is powerful, and the football, you know, gives you an opportunity to do that in a great way. And, you know, I think, you know, when I look back at the teams I played on, you know, having conversations with those guys, both, you know, both then and now, right, you know, just seeing the growth that we've all, you know, had individually is truly amazing. And I think, you know, people that are, you know, around and surrounded by people that look and sound different than them, like, you, that's always a good thing, right? It's hard to find a negative in diversity. In the football, you know, football locker room, you know, provides that, like, you know, almost not really anything else does in you know, in the world, as far as, you know, just true diversity, you know, across the team. So, you know, those things are always great. And, you know, diversity is one thing, but then it's just having the conversations and the real commitment to learning, you know, on about each other. And is, you know, the football locker room provides a great opportunity to do that for young men.
That's what makes college athletics so neat, and that's across the board too, but football obviously a huge part of it. Cam, I appreciate the perspective, obviously the maturity that you bring. That was very evident when you walked on campus as a grad senior and now in the adult world, as you say, because it's certainly showing off. So thank you for joining us on the Camel Call podcast.
No problem, Evan. Thank you for having me, and obviously thank you to Campbell as a university, Coach Minner, and that staff. I'm wishing them nothing but success this season, and you as well. You've you know, embraced me as soon as I got there, and then we've, you know, always had a good relationship. So glad to see you. You're still there and doing a great job. And I know Campbell, you know, is appreciative of you, and just want to tell you thank you and continue the great work for the Camels. You know, it's definitely appreciated.